Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord God.
Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it when we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, just for your information, the judgment here is not on us. This is non-believers, the nations. So our relationship with Jesus, now we got to do all these things. And we do them every year. This Christmas time, you're going to have to start writing them checks for all the outreach and all that. We'll continue to do those works. But fundamentally, when people ask the question, "Well, what about people who don't know Jesus?" Right? How can you be a Christian? What if they don't know about Jesus? You know, when they're saying that, what you say is, well, Jesus said the nations are judged by how they treat those who are part of his family. So I'd like to get into that, but I'm not, because the first reading just took my breath away. At the center of the good news, at the very center of the gospel, is the idea that God will search out his lost sheep. That's what the good news is, that God's going to come looking for us. In the days of, as Ezekiel says, clouds and thick darkness. Clouds and thick darkness, we kind of have a good season for reading this, right? Those sheep were scattered. And during autumn, and during our current social crises, not just in this country, but around the world, it's pretty easy to feel like a lost lamb. It's pretty easy to look for a good shepherd. And as the shepherd of this local church, I can tell you, it's really easy to feel inadequate to the job of trying to figure out what am I supposed to be doing and how do I do it. I love the story of Ezekiel because it resonates with me. Ezekiel was a young priest in training. They didn't have seminarians, but if they did, and I'm thinking back to my seminary days, he was like this young guy. He was training to do his priestly duties, and he probably heard Jeremiah. If he didn't actually hear him, he would have heard the words of Jeremiah. So he's this young priest, and here's this other guy in the priestly family, Jeremiah, preaching about you better turn or this whole thing is going to go south. As an almost priest-to-be, he saw the Babylonians come, wipe out the city, destroy the temple. So he was a priest without an altar. And I'm telling you, that is a hard thing to be. And if in the exile, he was drug off with the others in the exile, God comes to him and shows him visions and speaks words to him and makes him a prophet. Now, what would it have been like to think, like Jeremiah, you're watching Jeremiah, and now suddenly you're like Jeremiah. I mean, you can understand that he must have just like went to bed at night saying, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. So the book of Ezekiel is wonderful. It's amazing. It's one of those books you have to know pretty well if you're going to ever read Revelation, because a lot of Revelation comes through Ezekiel. And fundamentally, it's filled with, there's basically two kinds of message. There's judgments that are harsh, and there's consolation, which is pleasant. And in today's reading from chapter 34, we get both of them. We get both of them. What's really cool about this reading is there is absolutely no doubt that Jesus, our Lord, studied Ezekiel 34 and used it, because the parable of the lost sheep and the Good Shepherd saints in John's gospel are both, he may have been preaching about those texts. He may have unrolled the scroll and read Ezekiel and then said, I'm the Good Shepherd. I'm the Good Shepherd. So Ezekiel 34 not only helps us understand the role of Jesus, it is a prophecy which he fulfills. Now, the symbolism of being a shepherd is pretty easy. I've shared before, when I was in Assisi, I heard bells ringing, and I looked over the wall, and I saw this young Italian kid with like six sheep. And I said, I've never seen a real shepherd before. It was like awesome. But the image of a shepherd makes sense to us. I mean, even if we haven't grown up in that kind of setting, it's a pretty simple image. And what we see in this reading is the leaders of Israel, the people are called the shepherds. Another word for shepherd is pastor, a pastor, are condemned as false because they use their positions for personal gain. Now, imagine living in a country. Now, use your imagination here. Imagine living in a country where periodically you found out that the people who were in elected office ended up leaving office and becoming multimillionaires. Now, can you imagine something like that? Is it possible? Or imagine, a lot of you who have military, imagine being in the military, making, you know, the military salary, which is not robust, and suddenly, as you retire, you go work for a company that has contracts in the military, and suddenly you're making lots and lots of money because of your context. This is what God is condemning: the use of our positions of authority, which are meant to help us help others, and using it to benefit ourselves. So for all of you who are saying it's never been worse, you're right, as long as you put a comma except in the past. It has never been worse than it is today. Well, except for the past. It's always been this. Like, God didn't say something and he said, well, this is going to only apply after 2,000 years. So, the powerful, that's the problem being powerful. They're always at risk. If you read morning prayer, what did James say? Don't everybody want to be a teacher? They're going to be held to a stricter standard. So you guys are out there living your life, and I'm up here sweating bullets because it's like, I'm going to be held to a higher standard. Well, anybody in a leadership position is also held to a different standard. The shepherds take advantage of the weak sheep because they can. And that's the problem. We do the bad things that we do because we can. Like, I probably won't assassinate any Korean military leaders, right? So I don't get up and say, once again this week I didn't murder any Korean military leaders. Man, I can do mean stuff to people I know. Well, not so much now because we're all separated. But, you know, I can say unkind things to people. I can ignore people in need in my little environment. And the reason I do to those people is because I can. It's a possibility. Now, the flock is dispersed in the Babylonian exile. So this is a literal as well as a figurative thing. And let me explain something else to you. The other reason we're dispersed is because sheep are dumb, and when a sheep is off on its own, so I'm not saying you're dumb. Well, I did say you're dumb. All right. Because we're dumb, right? Like in the Bible it says, when Israel was going down the tubes, it's because everyone followed their own heart. And I preached on this here. I'd have all these people saying, you got to follow your heart, Father. Yeah, that's real biblical. Because if you follow your heart, that means you're going to be a lost sheep. And we have to just admit it. You have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm dumb. If left to my own devices, I will just mess things up. And if you don't believe it, if you have kids, ask them what they think of you. If you're married, ask your spouse what they think of you. And I promise you, they're not going to say, you've never done anything wrong that I've seen. So, but the reading says shepherds aren't the only problem. Who's the other problem? Well, they call them the fat sheep. So that makes me nervous too. I have to work on this weight issue. But the bottom line is, he says, it's not just what the shepherds are doing to you. It's what you do to each other. It's called the survival of the fittest. Right? The strong will survive. And what God basically says is, yeah, they will. But at the end of things, I'm flipping this thing like a pancake. And the ones on top, go read Luke's gospel, Mary. He has lifted up the lowly and he's pulled the mighty down from their thrones. And folks, we're much closer to throne status than we are to the impoverished people with nothing. So we have to be especially attentive to the fact that if we're not fat sheep, we're probably not the worn out skinny ones either. And so part of the judgment here is the reversal. But I'm not ending with judgment here because I just want to. I think things are dark enough. I don't need to add to the parade of misery here. The reading, and read it. You know, read this chapter 4 or 5 times. Every time you read it, you'll just see more stuff there. There's great reason for hope. And remember, the Hebrew word for hope also means wait. And I don't know if you caught it, but next week is New Year's in the church. It's Advent. This is the end of the Matthew year. We're going to go into Luke, and so next. Next week, we enter the season of Advent, which is a season of waiting and hope. And I'm just going to kind of grab the verbs out of this reading, because this is what God says, I'm going to do. He says, I will seek them. I will take them out of exile. I will bring them home. I will feed them. I will graze them. I will look for the lost. I will bandage their wounds. I will sustain the weak. I will rescue them. So here's this week's message to you. Rejoice, little flock, because God is a good shepherd who loves you and is going to take care of you, and just be nice to one another. Amen.